Chapter 2. Harry sat in his loft in the ruins thinking about the call he'd just received. He'd wanted to be told something else, that they'd verified her location with a sighting, and the time of reckoning had come. That's not the message Crater had conveyed, nor was Harry surprised to find out it had ended so differently. If he was honest with himself, and he always was, he'd known there was a good chance Nectar would see them before they saw her. She had eyes everywhere, devotees anxious to please their master, in the slopes, in the ruins, everywhere. The only real surprise was that she hadn't killed them both. It had taken 5 years just to get this close to her again. She relied on her legend as much as her skills to stay ahead of him. The only thing as dangerous as crossing Nectar was crossing Harry Hell, and that pressure of equal and opposing forces had sustained their stalemate. It would not, could not, last forever. His one promise left in life, his mission, was to extinguish her like a candle blown out with his own breath, to watch her die as he spoke one word, one name, Raoul. His only soulmate in a lifetime littered with souls, the real reason he'd stayed alive this long. For the truth is that Harry had tired of living long ago. The world he existed in had refused to save itself, and he was weary of inhabiting it. There were no morals, no hope, and absolutely no redemption. He had not committed to killing Nectar for anything as grand as justice. There was no justice, and never had been, except in the minds of people for whom the futility of life was unbearable. Rather, his determination was for revenge, and the satisfaction of it. Raoul had given him comfort in a world devoid of it. Raoul had made him feel human when humanity had abandoned the planet and the people on it. Raoul had made him laugh. He had not laughed since Raoul's death. He had not even smiled. But he would smile as he watched Nectar's eyes go dull, and as he heard her gasp a last breath, and as he smelled her fear. People imagined she had none, but Harry knew better. Everyone fears. These are things he'd promised himself, and they were why he would never give up until one of them, or both of them, were dead. He would happily die with her, as long as she went first. Harry Hell was in his 40s, past the life expectancy of anyone living in the slopes or the ruins. Only those in the vast guarded compound called Eastward, Eastie for quick reference, could expect to live longer, but not by much. The air was barely breathable anywhere on the planet, and even with their artificial environment and their miles of fencing topped with razor wire sharp enough to remove a man's fingers if he merely brushed against it, the security and comfort enjoyed by the residents of Eastie were relative. They depended on staying safely removed from the rest of the island by force and by the generosity of providing daily food and power rations that decreased each year, a sort of cost of living in reverse. Eventually, they would stop placating the dead enders beyond their fortified gates, for no other reason than that they had nothing left to throw to the crowds, no meat for the hyenas, and the world they all still tenuously shared would end, as all worlds do. That was the true apocalypse, the unavoidable crash and burn that, like the sun's inevitable supernova, would wipe them all from memory. Harry would be long gone by then and didn't care. He wasn't interested in saving a world that wasn't worth saving, only in making sure he'd sent one woman, one creature, to her death before he joined her in the ashes. The scars on his face itched. It was part of his physical reality, something he'd lived with since being splattered with acid 10 years ago in a capture that had almost killed him. He'd worked for control then, the last time he'd believed in anything but his own survival. The agency of ultimate authority known simply as Control, the enforcement arm of Eastward and its ruling elite, had convinced men and women like Harry that order could be restored, that the devastation they'd witnessed following the Great Collapse was temporary, and all it would take was apprehending those it deemed enemies of the estate, after which Control would determine their fate on a case-by-case basis or, in some instances, mass extinction. It had not been Harry's job to always kill his targets, although execution was as acceptable to Control as bringing them back alive. In most cases, Control considered a corpse as good as a man or woman in handcuffs and less expensive, too. Dead people did not consume resources, and Harry had delivered more than a few lifeless bodies to his superiors. But there were other times when someone was considered so dangerous or such a valuable source of information that Control wanted them brought back alive for questioning that would postpone their inevitable deaths. It was during one such mission to bring a rogue agent back that Harry had almost forfeited his life. That time he'd been surprised, something Harry knew was usually fatal in the game of predator and prey he'd mastered so well. It had been Raoul, then his hunting partner, who'd saved his life at the expense of the man they'd gone to capture. The man had been third on Control's list of most wanted, a traitor who'd become a leader of incursions into Eastie to commit theft and sow chaos. Harry and Raoul had found him operating from an abandoned slaughterhouse, guarded by four hard men they immediately killed, two by garrote, one by knife, and one with a bullet to the left eye. It had been a child that made Harry hesitate for just a moment, and in a world this harsh, a moment was often the distance between life and death. A boy child with wet blue eyes, standing in a doorway beyond which waited the man they'd come for. "Step aside, son," Harry had said. "Kill him," Raoul said, several feet behind Harry, showing no mercy. He knew as well as Harry that childhood was no guarantee of innocence, and that the youngest ones were sometimes the most deadly. Harry turned to Raoul, taking his attention off the child, which was all the time it took for the boy to run up to Harry and fling a jar of acid at him. The liquid fire splashed onto Harry's arm and face, and his flesh began to melt. A gunshot rang out and the boy's head exploded. "How's it feel, motherfucker?" The man they'd come for stood in the room beyond, visible now through the doorway. He was the one who'd shot the child, useless to him now. He wasn't much of a man either. Filthy clothes, thin as a belt, smiling with only half his teeth left. The door slammed shut. "Go!" Harry shouted, expecting Raoul to burst through the door in pursuit. But Raoul did not go. Raoul rushed instead to Harry. He eased Harry down onto the concrete floor, yanked his canteen from his waist belt, and poured the precious water over Harry's face and arm. It wasn't much, but it made the difference between scars and no skin at all. The thin man got away, to continue his raids another day. Their files at Control got notices of reprimand for failure to accomplish the mission. And Harry got Raoul. Partners became lovers. Lovers became one. The target they'd let slip away was killed by his own men, sparing Control another attempt and the expense of exterminating him. Eventually, as Harry and Raoul became a single fighting unit, a legend with two names, all was forgiven, if not forgotten. Then came their biggest assignment, bring us nectar, or her emerald ring, or the hand she wore it on, any irrefutable proof she was dead. She had been number one on Control's list for months, and had become an obsession for the agency. As far as enemies went, she was the best, and only their best could stop her. Harry and Raoul took their orders and set out to collect their prize. They'd come close to apprehending her too, within breathing distance. But this time their adversary did not slam a door or run, or rely on a child with a jar of acid to slow them down. This time she displayed her cunning and her skill. Raoul paid with his life, Harry paid with his heart, and for the past 5 years Harry had been determined that Nectar would reimburse him with her death. At least they'd found her again,